he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. So, Andrea already gave the message, so I'm just going to pray, and we'll head home. But that was awesome 3 points, right? How he loves us, how he loves us. Isn't it true? Maybe you don't like repetition, but how often does Jesus have to tell us that he loves us for us to get it, right? And isn't Jesus creative, right? I mean, smoke and lights are not that creative. Jesus is much more creative. That's nothing compared to what he does to get our attention and to bring us into fellowship with him, right? So much more. Repetition. Smoke and lights. What's the last one?
Volume.
Volume. Jesus always made sure he was heard. Guys, I don't know. It's so, we get so wrapped up in things. I love how when we, not love, I guess, but yeah, I love how when life changes, things get challenging in our lives, it just makes us think differently, right? It totally does. So this morning, as we were singing that blessing, I was just picturing in my mind, in my imagination, all these people at home worshiping God with their families, hopefully, maybe not, but maybe with their families, and them receiving the blessing of Jesus, them listening to a message in a different way. And we're here, yeah, but there's so many people in our city that are at home now, and they're watching their TV or they're watching their computer screen, and they're just entering into relationship with Jesus right there. And what's happening? To me, something amazing is happening because of something tragic. We as churches have been forced to think more about how we can project ourselves to other people wherever they are. Like, our church is thinking so much more about that, and we will be changing some things so that we can reach out to you in your home, and as a result to many other people in their home too. God has a way of making himself known, even in tragic situations, and goes beyond what we ever dreamed, to reach out to a generation and a people who desperately need Christ. They need a message today, right? Do we need hope? Do we need healing? Desperately. Desperately. So let's pray before we jump into the message here, and I'm not going to go that long because, Andrew, that was awesome. So let's pray. God, thanks so much for this morning. And as people are in their homes, as my wife's at home, and as she's watching something and enjoying a message in another way, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would be with all these people, and that you would do something new, something fresh. A new movement of your Holy Spirit in homes and in lives that would bring life to us. Wake up our dry bones and bring life to us. Cause us to see life differently and see the people around us differently. See what we have differently and what really is important to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked at the coming of the storm. Thanks, Bart, for reading about that passage. And it's such a common passage, so it's going to be easy to speak about because many of you have already heard this about this passage. But let's do the setting a little bit. It's always important to have a setting. At the very beginning it says, and they got into the boat and his disciples followed him. So the very first sort of thing that they did was they followed Jesus. And that's what they were doing, right? That was a commitment they made to Jesus. They're going to follow him. As a matter of fact, this word follow has some connection with the word discipleship. And if that means anything to you, sort of like the word coming together to be trained, to learn something, to commit to some movement, to do something different. And so the disciples were actually, that's what they're doing. It wasn't just they're hopping in a boat following Jesus physically. They were literally following him to do something with him and expecting something and wanting to learn more about it. It wasn't this traditional class that they had of discipleship where they came to a certain church or room and sat down and got trained through the scriptures. No, it was Jesus' life. It was Jesus Christ moving and they're following him. Do we lose that sometimes? I think we do. We need to follow Jesus. We need to follow Christ. And so they're going into the boat. So it turns out that Jesus is in the process of kind of bringing people to follow him. And so he's got Peter, Andrew, James, and John, at least those four with him. And they come to a boat to go over. And the boats are pretty large, right? So these guys, for the most part, are professional fishermen. So they're familiar with the boat. The boat usually takes five people, apparently, to run. So they have four on the oars and one on the rudder. And there's lots of space for someone to sleep in the stern. So there is room for that. They can hold quite a few people in these boats as well. So much more than just the people that were going to be manning it or working it. So interesting. the Sea of Galilee. And I come to the Sea of Galilee. It's surrounded by high mountains. And it's a beautiful sea. It's actually sandy beaches. It's calm. It's nice. It's a great place to be. And people go and fish there. The sea is stocked with fish. So it's a good place to be. These fishermen are familiar with it. They're used to going out at night, which is what they're going to do now. They're used to going out at night, any time of day, and going out and fishing. And they're also used to what can happen. And apparently it's fairly common for this easterly wind to come. And they'll rip down from the mountains and swoop down into the sea and cause up to 7-foot waves, even higher, enough to take a boat down. So this is what they're experiencing. It's just what happened. And so here they are on the boat. They got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came, and that's it. Does come suddenly. It can come really very quickly. It came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. I love that, just that phrase there, but Jesus was sleeping. It almost appears that he's taking a break, because often that's what they have on the stern, this place where guys who need to take the break, they go to the stern, and they rest. And so they're sleeping. Jesus was tired from ministry, I guess, but he was not on a break. Right? Jesus doesn't go on a break. God is not on a break. And in the same sense that in this world, as we see so many things going on that are chaotic, we just happen to be focusing on the virus right now, but there's so many other things happening. Jesus may appear to be sleeping to you at times and not active, but he is very active. He's in the boat with us right now. And he sees the waves. He knows what's going on around us. But he's there for us. And he wants to walk with us through it. So as we follow him into the boat, go with me on this analogy. We are joining him, and he is going to be there to take care of us. We're talking about the theme of rhythms of prayer. And as we're talking about that, if we can kind of get a non-traditional look at prayer, because often we see prayer as someone kneeling down, possibly, as a devout prayer, and of course submitting themselves to Jesus, surrendering to Jesus, and then talking to him, right? Sharing requests or sharing needs, possibly listening to him. So it's a particular time, maybe in a day, where you do that. Maybe it's a regular routine that you would do to pray. But prayer is, we all know this, but prayer is so much more than that, right? It's a relationship. And yeah, it is submitted, it's surrendered, but it's a relationship. And so in relationship with Jesus, I think that's why Paul says you pray without ceasing. So you're always in relationship with Jesus. You're just in communication with him through your life as you're going through things. So it's an ongoing thing. So to me, the rhythm of prayer, the rhythm of relationship is happening all the time. And as these disciples are going and following Jesus onto the boat, as we follow Jesus onto the boat, we're simply just carrying on that rhythm, and we're learning what it's like to be in that rhythm. And as you're in that rhythm of being in relationship and prayer with Jesus, he has the opportunity to teach us and change us and make us new. Something new can happen in our lives. So we're not necessarily down here, we're actually moving around. We're in the church, or we're in our community, or we're in someone's house, or shopping, or whatever. And as we're doing that, we can be in the rhythm of Christ, in prayer, in relationship. And so the disciples were doing the same thing. They were in this rhythm, where they were starting to discover what it would be like to be with Jesus in a storm. Now, we know that when storms come, our rhythm picks up, right? Our anxiety picks up a little bit, our heart starts beating a bit more, and maybe you're in a bit of a rhythm that's a little more panic these days. Maybe not, but maybe you are. So you tend to get little spikes of prayer that go up strongly to God. And God understands that. He sees that. And he's right here in the boat with us, but he gets it. And this is what's happening with the disciples. It says the disciples went and woke him up saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." I mean, these were professional fishermen. They knew what it was like to be in these storms, but this was excessive. This was over the top. This is something they couldn't handle. And there's a blessing in that, because sometimes we have to get to the point where we're actually somewhere where we can't handle it. Because we feel like we can handle all things. We manage things well. We manage our prayer life well. We manage our church well. We manage our work well. We manage our school well. We manage all these things. We get it all working well. But it's not until something comes at us that really shows us we actually can't control this. It's out of my control. But then we have this spike of prayer that goes up, and it's much more real, right? It's much more authentic. It's actually right from our heart, and sometimes it's harsh, but it's there nonetheless. And God is right here, and we think out of it, but he's right here in our boat, and he's listening to us. He's drawing us to him, giving us this opportunity during this time, this particular time in our life, in our generation, in our country, to draw to him in a unique way. Honestly, authentically. Will that happen now in everyday life? I don't know. I hope it does. I hope that now we can take that and actually do this in our lives just in the mundane moments as well. But we can learn through it, and we can establish a rhythm that can be so much stronger for us. And so they said, we're going to drown. And he replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? It sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? I don't know. Maybe their words were harsh too, but his were, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Just this last week, my son had an opportunity to have someone pray for him. And I don't know if you've ever had somebody pray for you, you've had something happen, and all of a sudden you realize God actually did something. He made a difference. Something happened different in your life. Well, this is what happened with him. My son is, if you have children, I have this one child who's always injured. Anybody have a son like or a daughter like that? Okay, so anyway, he's always injured. Something's happening. And he's always involved in sports, so he had fallen, and he'd been in a volleyball tournament and fallen and hurt his knee, and was hurt before as well. So there's bruising and swelling in one of his knees. And so a friend of his and a group of guys prayed together. I think some of the guys were actually here. They prayed together, and Jesus healed him. The swelling went down, and the bruise left his knee. So as he went through that, what do you think happens? Well, you start to think, wow, maybe there is a God, you know? Or maybe that was just a trick. Maybe that didn't really happen. Maybe that was going to happen anyhow. And so we're going through these rhythms where we're learning about who Jesus is. Well, let me share another one with you that really challenged me this week. Last Sunday, which was a week after David Hearn, our president of the Christian Mission Alliance of Canada, was with us, I had an opportunity to do some cleaning. We did our communion, and I took the communion downstairs. Actually, most of it was already done. I did very little, if you want the honest truth. We have such good servants in our church that did so much work. But I took some of it down at the end, and I was just dumping out some juice and cleaning up some stuff and putting it away. And there was one of the ladies from the Korean church was there, and she was making rice. So I thought about the rice, because they always have food after their service. You may want to go to their service, but they always have food. And I asked her about it, what it was like, what she was making, and she was telling me, I don't even remember the spices, but some spices she was putting in. And then she looked at me and she said, what happened last Sunday? She points her finger at me. And I'm telling you, she must have said it 10 times to me. What happened last Sunday? What happened in church? What happened? I said, the president was here, and he spoke, and it was a great service, and people were praying, and we had a good time. The Holy Spirit was there, she said. The Holy Spirit was there. She said, in our service, we came in and we knew the Holy Spirit was here. We were worshiping. Our worship isn't always that lively, but it was that Sunday. We were raising hands and we were praising God because the Holy Spirit was here. And so God said to me, there you go, Rob. It wasn't just electric. It wasn't just fun. It wasn't just something unique. It was Jesus' presence, right? So Holy Spirit's presence. And then our rhythm just increases. We start to, God is active. He is moving. He can do things. And the disciples saw this, right? They were in this place where they commonly were in the boat. They've been in these storms. But to see the waves, listen to the word of Jesus. The power of Jesus can stop the waves, stop the wind, calm the storm. Have you experienced that, Jesus? Do you know that, Jesus? I'm going to end my message with this. I told you it was going to be short. In the rhythms of prayer, my challenge this morning was to remind us of the need to surrender. And so that's what I'm going to remind you of. We, as a lot of us, I can say, because we're pretty faithful people here, I can tell. People that come on this Sunday, pretty much, I would assume, are in relationship with Jesus. And you've been in a rhythm for a while. But sometimes our rhythms aren't based on the person of Jesus. Sometimes they're based on tradition or obligation and religion. So let's look at those two things just as we close. Are you committed to a set of values and rules and regulations, or are you committed to the person of Jesus Christ? It's not the way of Christ that leads us to salvation, it's the person of Christ that leads us to salvation. So when Jesus says, follow me, he's not saying, follow my principles. He's actually asking you to follow him, because it's not the principles and doing the jobs that connect us with God. It's the work of Jesus Christ that does that. If we imitate his life, but we don't know him, we just end up exhausted. So they're following Jesus, and believe me, they were working hard on that boat. They're exhausted, and they don't know what to do. And finally, they surrender. They give up. Jesus, wake up! Why didn't they wake up Jesus? What's he going to do? Well, they must have had an inkling he was going to do something. Do you have at least an inkling that he's going to do something in your life? So call out to him, the person of Jesus, not just the routine of church, not just the routine of reading your Bible, not just the routine even of praying, but actually call out to the person of Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit. Follow him and let him transform your life. Let him take care of all the things that are around you. Sometimes as Christians, we can see what is good and what is right and what is pure, but we have no power to actually live it. We're trying to do it in our own routines, in our own ways. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Surrendering to Christ. It's so hard for us to get out of our mind the routines and all the things we feel we have to do in order to feel better. It's not about that. It's about the person of Jesus. And we know he can be present with us right here. We experienced it in this church. And we can experience it again in our lives, at home, wherever we are. He will walk with us. It's the person of Jesus. Galatians 2:20 talks about being crucified with Christ. I didn't read anywhere that it said be crucified in your principles and your values. I didn't hear anywhere that we're supposed to pray that our principles would indwell us. That's not what it was. It was the Holy Spirit that is supposed to indwell us and transform us. And we're supposed to die to ourselves in Christ. And the only way we can do that is faith, through faith in Christ. The disciples in faith went into the boat to follow Jesus, to go where he was leading them. And in faith, they went through that storm and lost it. And in faith, they woke up Jesus. And in faith, Jesus calmed the storms around them. And they discovered a God who they can be trust, who is trustworthy, who they can walk with. I want to tell you, you have a God that is trustworthy. You can walk with him. Let's pray. Father, this morning we are blessed to be in your presence. And we have a country that is now in a little bit of fear and making some wise choices and not meeting in public places and big groups. And we are here and we can do that. And we're thankful for that. But we pray that you'd be with many who can't and that you would minister to them this morning. And some who have chosen to not come here as well. And we just want to know, God, that it's not about coming to church. It's not about being religious. If this thing can do one thing, it can tell us that it's not about a building. It's not about being in a big group. It's about being with you. And it certainly is about one another. But God, would you now transform that to make it something where we're following you to be with one another, following you to share with other people, and following you to make choices that are going to set our people free, really. So God, we commit ourselves to you. We want to surrender ourselves to you. And God, put your hand on things in our life, please, even this morning, that we just need to give back to you. We've been too